Let's continue our teaching on how to pray for a nation. Now, you know, something happened today. A brother called me and we spoke. I realized that what we have been preaching the last 3 weeks, as last week, the week before, and the week before that, especially when we're talking about a plowman of hope up till now, please take it very seriously. Listen to the messages again. You know the interesting part? When the brother and I were speaking, he used exactly the same words I used last week. He said, hey, let's be careful that this blessing that God is giving us is not a curse, that we don't turn it into a curse in our lives. Very important. And after he and I spoke, I said, look, I need to emphasize it again. Please go and listen to those messages. All right? Plowman of Hope and all the ones we preached until last week. That would be like a total of three from Plowman of Hope, the one after that, and the one after that in this hour, How to Pray for a Nation series. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are happy and you know it, say amen once again.
Amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles. We'll start from where we stopped last time, talking about how to pray for a nation. Let's start from the book of Luke chapter 10. I'm going to try and avoid repeating the things I've said many times. I want to emphasize something again, even though I've said it many times. And that is the fact that if God wants to do something, he actually wants us to ask him to do it. That's why I ended last week when I began to talk about the fact that if God gives us a vision, we should take that vision and pray about it. That's the primary thing. And the reason why I was emphasizing that, let's go over it again. We can't say it enough. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to us. The children of men, the sons of men. What that simply means is that what we don't permit on the earth will not be permitted. Do you understand that? That's number one. And number two, it also means that what we want to happen on the earth, we have to give authority, we have to give power, all right, for the execution of that thing. There are two ways by which we permit things on the earth. There are two ways. One, which is one people are more accustomed, all right, to, is that we ask God about it or we speak words about those things. Now, that one also has two sides, which I just mentioned. One, we ask God. Two, we speak words. So what we declare controls the things that happen on this earth. And secondly, what we ask God for also is very important in what happens on the earth. So that's one way by which we control what happens on the earth. Secondly, this is the one a lot of people don't understand, which is just as powerful. The second way by which we control the things that occur on the earth is by how we behave. That is the second way by which we control the things that happen on the earth. How did I say?
How we behave.
This will sound funny. You'll be surprised if you look in the realm of the spirit. Let's assume, you know, I keep on saying this on Judgment Day, all right? There's one I see all the time. You say, why is the pastor preaching to collect money? He should be flogged, because it's true. So I have 100 strokes of the cane for him for lying to collect money. Then the day he wants to share the 100 strokes, he takes 85 and gives to a man who has never preached. And you say, why? He said, because he's the major reason why that man was so broke, I don't know whether you get that, that he began to lie. Because give me food that is convenient for me, otherwise I'll be poor and do what? And what? All right. He said, if I'm too poor, I'll do what? I will steal. So if God commissions you that, ensure that man is not poor. So if the man is so poor, he steals directly because of his poverty. Then you that withheld the money that was due to him, and he that stole, both of you are guilty of stealing. That's how God judges. All right? Now, so I want to, that principle, I believe we already understand it. So let me carry it to another extent. Do you know, one day we'll get to heaven also. Now, assuming this happened, I don't know whether it will happen like this. Or they, let's say some people get to hellfire. Judgment in hellfire, I don't know how it is. I only know the heaven one. The hellfire one, let's assume we get to hellfire. What's the name of that lead bomber in Nigeria? Shekau something, Shekau. What's the first name? Abubakar Shekau. So it's okay. For all the bomb blasts that went off in Nigeria, we want to start burning people with fire. So we are going to burn. We have 100 burning to do. For each bomb. So all of us say, good. They don't catch a cow. He's in trouble now. I won't catch a cow. You're dead. We are going to burn you. 100 bunnies. Senator Ajanle Koko, come forward. So that one comes forward. Excuse me. Did you call my name? Yes. Burn him 50 times. Shekau burn him 5 times. Why? Because he ignited the bomb. But the people that created the spiritual environment that ensured that bombing was easy or bombing was attracted, give them 50 burnings each. That's the reason I'm saying this. You'll be surprised when God wants to hold people responsible for burning. All the corrupt politicians, government officials, local government workers, civil servants, church workers, pastors, they get the judgment. He said, why? He said, because what you saw in explosions, all right, was a result of the atmosphere of corruption you guys created. That guy was just a trigger. That's why I'm giving him 5 levels of burning, while the rest of you, I'm spooking you 95 times. Do you know we hardly think about this? He said, okay, one young man or one man took his wife and his children in America, shot them, shot himself, then set the house on fire. Oh, no. Which one did you do first? Okay, set the house on fire first before shooting himself, because I was wondering how a dead man. You know? So they said, all right, what's going to happen? We are going to judge him and judge all those mass murderers in America. How many bunnies? 100. You know, this bunny now, like strokes of cane. All right. They say, okay, 100. Fine. All right. So call them out. Barack Obama, 16. Hillary Clinton, 25. Why? He said, you guys don't realize it. Every time you pushed for sexual immorality, you empowered suicide, the mass murderer. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That you think the mass murderer is a wicked soul, but who created the atmosphere in which he thrived? All those of you who said sexual immorality is good. Listen, the way God judges, you'll be surprised too. That is why when you want to pray, you kneel down, Father, in Jesus' name, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. Everything that I did, I like the way the Anglicans prayed. The sins of omission and the sins of commission. All of them. I like the way that, there's another one, Anglican, said, the things we did and the things we were supposed to do that we did not do. Very important attitude in prayer. So, this is what I'm making. That's why, again, that's why we don't just go to God and be pleading our works. I have done this, you will do this one. God said, you don't know the things that you have not done. Very, very important. And that's why we Christians, we need the power of the blood of Jesus working our lives all the time. Otherwise, we will be held accountable for many things that we do not even realize we participated in. I dare to say a lot of the problems in Nigeria is caused by all the people that shout, divide it, divide it. You see, these things are spiritual. You can be saying it in the corner in your homes. It's being packed together and used to cause, they use those words to cause problems in National Assembly. And then your village, you say, we must divide it. Those words go out into the air, and then the angels come, they gather it, the demons come, gather those words, and then go to National Assembly and scatter those things in that place. And your words, 600 kilometers away from there, is causing disagreement between APC and PDP, and you don't realize it. Because you have a dissenting spirit, an angry spirit. You are angry, you know? You are just angry with everybody. And you sit down, you are shouting, divide it, divide it, divide it. As you are saying divide it, PDP doesn't understand why they can't agree. They wake up one day, half of them will come to APC. Then they get to APC, your words are still resounding. Divide it, divide it. They go there, divide again, half goes back to PDP. You just see confusion. What's the cause of confusion? You think it's because they are wicked. I'm not saying they are not wicked. But I'm saying that many of us are responsible for empowering the wickedness. There are many people who are wicked in their hearts, but they can't manifest. Do you know that? You know, that chair you are sitting on, if we decide to check the amount of bacteria inside, you know, go sit down. You won't sit on it. In fact, who's talking about the chair? Your shirt. The shirt you are wearing. If we start counting the amount of bacteria inside, you won't like it. You won't wear it again. But it doesn't matter really. You don't care. Why? They can't do anything to you. As long as immunity is intact. You know the immunity of this country? You know the immune cells of this country? If you know, you say amen.
Amen.
So who is it? Thank you. I like the way some people said us, some said Christians. I like the us part of it. You tap yourself. Me. Say it.
Me.
Me? Yes. So as long as you are strong, I know there are bacteria out there, but a lot of them can't manifest. Why? Because you are intact. That's why Jesus called you what? The salt. If Jesus was teaching medical students, he would have said that you are the T cells of the earth, the lymphocytes of the... I'm telling you. Well, because he was teaching common people, he used something they all understood. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If he had given that lecture to a group of medical students, he would have told them that, now, let me show you the antibodies of the earth. All of you put up your hands. You are the antibodies of the earth. You are the T lymphocytes of the earth. You are the... Okay, let me tell you one. A lot of people know. You are the leukocytes of the earth. You are white blood cells of the earth. You are responsible for the immunity of the environment. So what am I going to explain? So two ways by which we decide what goes on the earth. Number one, by our words and our prayers. And number two, by how we behave. Especially those of us who are Christians. Very important. We must never forget that. So we've been explaining that principle. And you see, that's one thing about prayer. Getting the right thoughts in mind. Prayer is not that I wake up every morning and I pray. Or I kneel down beside my bed every night before I go to sleep and I pray. A lot of those things is pure religion. It's just the way you were brought up. In the morning, have you had your quiet time? A lot of people during their quiet time, their minds are not quiet. Physically, they are there. They vex. If I don't get it alert before 8 o'clock today, nobody's working in the office. And he's doing his quiet time. He's listening to the book of Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wait till I catch the bus. Though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear any evil. But if they don't pay the salaries, they will see evil. And it's having a quiet time. The Lord is my shepherd. No. The Lord is my shepherd if the account balance is correct. If they don't pay on time, the Lord is not the shepherd. And he's praying, you know, he's reading out the Psalms, but his attitude is very far away from there. That's why we are talking about these things very seriously. Prayer is the attitude which is formed by understanding. It's formed by I'm sure now, nobody who listens to me ever says things like, divide it. Do you say things like that? If you wanted to say it, you would rebuke yourself. Get behind me, Satan. Because these things, listen, oh God, let me not get sidetracked again. These are the things that are determining whether you will manifestly prosper in this life. These are the things that are determining it. That's why I said, go and listen to those messages again. The Plowman of Hope and the two messages after it are in this our series. Because a lot of people are prophesying negatively by their actions. Once God gives you small money, you send all your children abroad and you come to church for prayer meeting. In the name of Jesus, God is not listening to you anymore. I don't care how anointed you are. He has stopped listening. He's not angry. You must understand. That brother and I were talking just now. I said there are people that, because of their thoughts concerning Nigeria as a nation today, they lost 5 billion naira. You say, 5 billion? Do I have 5 billion? No, not now. You were supposed to have it in the next 10 years. And I said, they are going to break it. Yeah, sell all your land in Abuja. Sell all your land in Abuja. As you are selling it, God is not angry. In fact, you still come to church and worship. And the Holy Spirit will come and say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just worship the Lord. The Holy Spirit will bless you. Goose pimples all over your body. You will see visions. And as we're worshiping, I will see visions of glory. And I see glory. Somebody say glory. At the end of the day, God said, that 5 billion, you won't get it. Are you angry? I'm not angry. If only you have kept your property there, believing that these prayers you are praying, I will answer it. I would have increased the value of that property. In the 10 years we are talking about, it will have increased to 7 billion naira in value. You will have planted houses on it that people will be fighting to give you 500 million naira a year on each one of them. But you sold it now. Worship all you want, you sold it. Why did you sell it? Break it. Cut it. Yes, you go to church. And say that this country, peace in the name of Jesus. Say, we go to your village and say, break it. I know the vex, so God is there. I'm not angry with you. No special punishment. You're going to go to heaven. If it's heaven, that's your problem. Don't worry. But on this earth, I've taken your 7 billion naira. I'm giving to your neighbor better than you. And this is the amazing thing. You will never find out. like being a very comfortable millionaire. You're happy. You drive very nice cars. But the thing is that places on this earth where you're supposed to utter your voice for the sake of righteousness, the power will have been removed from you. That is what prayer is about. You hear what I said? That is what prayer is about. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's continue studying. I said you should open somewhere, right? Luke chapter 10. Now, we read this last time. I just continued from where we stopped. It said, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 elders, and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he said to them, verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's all I need from that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, he said, it is your duty to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Don't open to this. I'll quickly read it. All right. We've read it before. Verse 37 of Ezekiel chapter 36. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. He said, like a flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Now, why do we read these two things? I just want to emphasize again. Anything God wants to do, he requires us to ask him to do them. Are you getting my point? It's very important. It is very, very important you get that point. What God wants to do, prayer is not about getting God to do that which he doesn't want to do. Prayer is actually about getting God to do precisely what he wants to do. You are not there persuading him to do what he does not want to do. We must understand that. It is just the thing, only the things that he desires to do that you can ask him to do and he will do. Any other thing is praying against the will of God. And that is why we study the word of God to know what God wants to do so that we'll form our prayer habits around those things that he wants to do. That is why when you want to pray, you can never open your mouth and compare somebody beside you, all right, with yourself and use that as a motivation for prayer. God says, I never told you I am going to get involved in the competition you have with your neighbor. You understand my point? Father God, you know, this is the sixth year. Ever since we got here, Namdi has broken through. Michael is doing well now. You start counting them one by one. Once you start like that, the prayer point has ended. The prayer has spoiled. Because you are not praying in accordance with his will. All right? So what is prayer? Prayer is to get God to do that which he wants to do. Now, last time we began to speak about the nation, we're praying how to pray for a nation, and that what are the things that God actually wants to do on the earth? What are the things that he actually wants to do? Well, I'm emphasizing again, those things he says we should ask him to do them. It's when we ask him to do those things that he's able to do those things. Very important. So we said number one, last time we began to say, explaining from the book of John, chapter, was it 3 or 1? Which one do you read now? I think John chapter 3. He said, for God so loved the world. Let's just read that one again. The book of John chapter 3. Now, we have laid a lot of foundations. Now, I began last time to develop this. What are the things we should ask God for concerning a nation like this? Now, you know, on Saturday, I talked about the cross of Christ, and I explained the fact that Jesus was lifted up, and that is the salvation of mankind. All right? And God said to Isaiah, he said, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. That is, what God is doing is sending you and I to go and explain to the cities of Zion, behold the salvation of God. All right, let's continue reading. All right, the book of James chapter 3, let's start from verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Now, also quickly, open to the book of Romans. Let me just read a few. After that, we'll stop reading. Let me say what I want to say. The book of Romans, chapter 10. All right, let me start from Romans chapter 1. Don't open to it, just stay in Romans chapter 10. I'll open to Romans chapter 1. It said, let me start from verse 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruits among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Notice verse 16. You know this very well. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Nigerian. The Lord is good. He said, for in it, and also the Ghanaian, and also the Malawian, amen. to everybody, all right, the American. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live or acquire life by faith. Now, let's now go to that Romans chapter 10 that we're reading. He now said that by faith they will acquire life. We read from Romans chapter 1, verse 17. In chapter 10, he now says, this is the word that we are preaching. What does that word say? Verse 8, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. In that same verse 12, for there is no distinction in this principle between Jews and Greeks. It's the same God as working. In that same in verse 14, how then would they call on him? Now I'm slowing down because this is actually what I want. How then would they call on him whom they have not believed? How would they believe in him whom they have not heard? How would they hear without a preacher? How would they preach unless they are sent? And how would they be sent except we ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field? I just added Luke chapter 10. Did you notice that? I left from there and went back to that Luke chapter 10. That this is how it works. For us to be saved, we must believe. The power of God unto salvation, and the word salvation does not just refer to I give my life to Christ and as a Christian, I am now saved. It means the word salvation is this, the power of God unto economic prosperity, the power of God unto healing, the power of God unto the end to suicide bombings, the power of God unto the end of all these troubles, kidnappings, armed robbery, all of that in the nation, the power of God unto the end of natural disasters, the power of God unto lack of constant power supply. You must understand the meaning of the word salvation. The power of God to solve all of this is what? The preaching of the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So the preaching of the gospel. You see, I was saying something on Saturday. If you have not been laughed at as being stupid or being silly, you haven't fully believed or understood the gospel yourself, or you have never expressed that thing before people. It is actually a very foolish thing. And that's what I'm explaining again. It is funny for me to say, in the year 2014, power supply is not yet constant in a country like this, though it's already getting constant in Jesus' name. Amen. It is working in the name of Jesus. Amen. And because the gospel is already working in you and I, and that is why. But let's just assume it's not working here, just to use it to explain something. They say why, and you say it's because the government officials are corrupt. That is not a lie. It is because they did not build a very big dam when they built Kanji Dam. That's not a lie. It's because we do not have enough gas power station. How come Enugu does not have coal power station? All that kind of stories. Those are the manifestations of the problem. That's not the cause of the problem. How come they have not solved this problem? It is simply because men have not believed. Sounds funny, but that's what it is. Because if they believed, do you understand? The other day I was watching, I think it was my wife and I watching TV yesterday night. And we're talking, you know, some people were riding, racing on power bikes, you know, power bikes. So we're just talking about it. So my man, I just looked at the engine of the bike, you know, just looked at it. And I got to work, yeah, was it this afternoon also? I saw one massive generator, you know, I could see into it. I saw the arrangement of the engines. And I told myself, who told somebody to design this thing? I don't know that you're getting my point. Who told people to improve upon those designs? I will tell you, it's a manifestation of the life of God in people. These things didn't happen by accident. These things always came forth by revelation. And the way by which we bring forth revelation into the earth is simply by primarily our faith in the gospel of Jesus. And a man, a woman who truly believes, his or her life becomes a channel through which God supplies solutions unto the earth. So when we are not experiencing solutions, it's because we have closed the channel. Now, what am I saying? The primary problem in every country, therefore, very important to understand it, the primary problem in every country is that the light of the gospel has not penetrated enough. That is the primary problem. What do we pray for a country? What is the thing that God wants to do? The primary thing he wants to do is to penetrate every corner of that nation with the light of the gospel of Jesus. And remember, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. Jesus wouldn't have said you should pray that prayer, except that he understood that the prayer was necessary for us to have the work done. That is, God wouldn't just say, okay, now the time has come for the full evangelization of every corner of Nigeria. Therefore, I'm going to send my angels. That's what he wants to do. God would, now, for God to do what he really wants to do, he says, we do what? We ask. That is the order. That is the order. So what do we pray concerning a nation like this? The primary prayer, you know, I need to explain all of this so that people will understand it. The primary prayer for any country is not about economic prosperity. The primary problem is not for good leadership. You know what people, you know, I hear all the time, the problem with Nigeria is that we don't have leaders. I keep on saying, where do they grow the leader? Where do they sell them? Maybe we can invest enough forex to buy a few leaders from some places. You know, we talk about it as if it's something we should go and look for. The people talking are the leaders. They are bad leaders too. Are you getting my point? No, listen, these things are spiritual though. The problem of Nigeria is not bad leadership. There are bad leaders in every country, and there are good leaders in every country. The question is, why do the bad leaders get to be in power? That is it. Or you think it is because we are suddenly lucky, you know what I mean? That in the last, 8 years now, we've had a lot of governors who they seem to be driven, all right, to develop their states in infrastructure. Why are you telling me they are the first people that had that kind of sense in the last 50 years? There were people who had more power than them and had more money who didn't do it. Why? It's simple. Because the spiritual climate did not allow such people to get to such places. That's how God does things. Or if some people who will have received such things were allowed into places, except the blessedness in the people commanded wisdom to come forth, it wouldn't come forth. So the primary problem in the country is not leaders. There are more than, listen, you know how many presidents you need at the time in the country? Who can guess? Who's intelligent enough to tell me? One. And believe me, I'm sure, I'm not saying that, how can you say there are 160 million people? They don't have good presidents. It's possible, all right? But I just happen to know that Nigeria has. Yes, we do. We have very good people who can run the country very well. We have very good people that won't embarrass themselves. They won't talk nonsense. They don't drink. They have purpose. Are you getting my point? They know how to arrange things. It's not just whether you are good or bad that brings you into power. It is whether the people are ready for the things that you should bring out if you are in power. That's the primary thing. That is what is primary. I want you to understand that point. Now, the whole thing is spiritual. That's what I'm going to emphasize. The whole thing is spiritual. So the primary problem is not leaders. The primary problem is, can we even receive the good leaders if they were to come there? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So when you want to pray for a country, number one prayer point, don't be nice about it except you are ashamed of the gospel. A lot of people are actually ashamed of the gospel. They say, what we need now is healthcare. We don't need more churches. My brother, you need more churches. You hear what I say? So there are so many churches. Nothing is happening. The truth is that most of them are not churches. They are business centers. I think I should start something around here, you know? Yes. I've heard people say things like that. I'm thinking of starting something around here. And when you hear it, starting something, it's like you're opening a shop. What are you selling? Gospel. And I sit down. People come for prayer. Say, so that I can bless you, you first sow a dangerous seed. We take things that are made. You know, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I've been to many churches. They are not churches, though. When we're talking about churches now, they are not places where people deliver the truth of the word of God. So what I'm trying to say is that we still need churches. Amen? Amen. The true ones, we need plenty. We don't have enough. Most of the things we call, most of these large buildings we see, they are centers of idolatry. Yes. The people just think that you have to come there to connect with God. That is where God is. You must show up regularly there just to come and meet with God. It's idolatry. Every building is supposed to be a place where we come to learn and to, you know, to meet together to pray. Not as if I'm going to church to pray. Do you have visitors in your house? No. Why are you going to church? So that I can be closer to God. That's idolatry. The building is not a church. Are you getting my point? No matter how you paint the windows, no matter the size of the cross on top of the building, there is no building that is a church. Not ever since Jesus died. There is no building that is a church. Every building is a convenient place of meeting. Since all of us can't go to your house, your sitting room is not big enough. Do you understand? All of us can't come to my house. It's not big enough. So all of us agree as Christians to have a hall where we meet regularly that can take all of us and is convenient for us. It is not more anointed than my house. That is the truth. That's why sometimes when Christians, when they want to raise money for church building, sometimes in churches, the kind of things they say really, really annoys me. This is the house of God. You have to build it. There are statements that don't come out from my mouth. When you say it, I don't believe you. This is the house of God. We have to take it serious. My brother, the way I'm living is the house of God. And if that's the principle, I shouldn't even give you one cobble. Yes, because you use the money. Because if it is the house of God, and the real house of God is my temple, so my body, you understand? So I should go and eat properly. Take that money, eat. So stay healthy. Buy myself good gym equipment in the house so I can, jog, So that you say, what are you doing? I'm taking care of the house of God. So don't come and fool me. You say, how can we stay here and the roof of the house of God is rotten? The roof of the house of God is not rotten. It just came from the barbers. I don't know whether you get it. This is my head. This is the roof of the house of God. If just say the way it is, brethren, this is where we meet. I don't think it's good for while we are having meeting for rain to fall. We'll talk to ourselves and the rain falls and we are getting wet. Please, we have to do this. Everybody has to do it. Don't come and harass me with the house of God because it is not the house of God. You, my friend, is the house of God. Me, I'm the house of God. All of us together are the house of God. When we join together, we are the house of God. Now, these are the truths that people must understand. Why am I saying all of this? Do we need more churches? In reality, in Nigeria, we do. We need less business centers. We need fewer idol centers. Are you getting my point? Real churches, yes, we do need plenty. What is a real church? It's a place where people go to be fed with the word of God. It is a place from which the word of God is coming out to affect the environment around. Yes, we need it. Let nobody lie to you that with all the people going to church in Nigeria, the country is not safe. They are not going to church. If they are really going to church, if people are really going, you know what I'm saying? Yes. In reality, forget. With this volume of going that we do, the country will change by force. Because we just stand and say, count 10 righteous people. The angel will just come back immediately. I'm going to say, you don't count, finish. He said, before I came out, the first person I met, it was 10 righteous people. Only him. The righteousness in him was 10 times. So after I counted 10 people, the amount of righteousness was so strong, I couldn't count anymore. I began to kill devils. That's what I'm telling you. What I've said is a matter of fact, not a joke. So what do we pray concerning the country? The first prayer point, we must never forget it, because that is a fundamental thing. We must pray that you pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. So we pray continually. God, in every corner of Borno State, send the light of the gospel. Into every corner of Lagos State, the light of the gospel. Send laborers in your mind. Hey, who will go to that kind of place? Don't worry. You know, God is interesting. Amen? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, not a joke now, all right? I mean this seriously. And don't pretend. If you are willing to volunteer tonight to be a missionary in Borno State, put up your hand. No, I'm not joking. If you're not willing, don't put up your hand. Don't try and impress me. Since I am here, my hand cannot go up. It can't go down. I'm the one asking. So you won't know what I'm thinking. But at least you can see my wife there. Her hand is not up. And since the woman is the glory of the man, it's obvious I don't want to go anywhere too. The Lord is good. Now, what am I going to say? The fact that you don't want to go doesn't mean there are no people that want to go. There are those who can't sleep now. All right? Because God has planted the spirit into them. You understand? They are looking for every opportunity to get down to Maiduguri and get to Chibok and get to all those places to go and preach the gospel. You've heard the story of David Livingstone. All right? The man came to Africa. When he arrived, you know who greeted him? Lion. Lion greeted him, and the lion's greeting is not Daniel's type. Welcome, sir. O thou prophet of the Most High. This was the lion wanted to eat the man and managed to rip one of his arms out of the socket. I think before the locals delivered him. Did he go back? No. There was a time, I think he was ill. People came, they were looking for him. One man, Stanley, that's his name, came down to Africa, looked for the man, took him back or so. I don't know whether he was that took him back to England. And then the man would be at home, and he'd be lying down there, and he'd be saying, the smoke from 1,000 African villages, or the fire, something like that, from 1,000, rather the fire from the smoke of 1,000, or the smoke from the fire in 1,000 African villages, are burning holes in my heart. He can't stay. He's not at peace. He's back in England, but he's not at peace. So he jumps on the next boat, and he's coming back. Now, it's not boats, like a flight. It's 3 hours on 3 months on the sea, 2 months on the sea. He jumps on the next boat, and he's coming down. He's not willing to stay back at home. In all of this, people are not even believing him. Yet, because of what God planted in his heart, the man wouldn't stay back at home. As you are here, feeling very happy with yourself, thank God that it's not in Enugu. There are people who are feeling very unhappy with themselves that when will I get the opportunity to go back to that place and go and do the work of the gospel? I heard Ravi Zacharias tell the story of Cambodia, when the communists finally invaded and took over, I think, Cambodia or Vietnam, one of those places, when they won the war. So that they were not evacuating, of course, foreigners, and some missions in the United States arranged to have Christians evacuated. So there was this particular guy, he took his wife and took his children, managed to get them onto one of those helicopters that the foreign people arranged. So they told him to come on board. He said, no. Join now. He said, no need. Of course, these are communists. They knew what was going to happen. He was a preacher, a leader in the church. They knew what they would do to him. He allowed his wife and his children to go. And as the helicopter was going up, he said, no, they shouldn't worry about him. That if it's only one communist he'll manage to convert, it would have been worth his staying behind. Those guys found him and drowned him before he could convert anybody. They buried him in water, killed him. You think he had any regrets? No, he was expecting it. He was expecting it. It was just in between the time they will catch me and when they will kill me, maybe I will be able to tell somebody the truth. And they allowed his wife and his children to take a helicopter and fly away. He waved them bye-bye. And he didn't, not like, I hope we see again, no. No. Bye-bye. See you at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's it. He knew it was final. He waved his wife bye-bye, his children, People were begging him. He said, don't worry about it. Let's go and meet the communists. And he went and waited for them. He had the opportunity to escape. That's the kind of spirit that God puts in the hearts of some people. So when you are praying for, you know, say, the heart of Islam, who will go? Don't worry. I know you don't want to go. Don't worry. There are those that want to go. There are those that will not sleep well except they go. Many of them were born there. When you hear of all these, you think they are all Muslims. It's not true. A huge chunk of people there are not Muslims. Many of them, they need your prayer for God to anoint them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Some of them will walk straight into Sambisa Forest. Who are they looking for? Check out. And you'll be surprised that when they are walking in, nobody will be able to do anything to them. You think God is sleeping? He's not. There's a book, Dreams and Visions, I have. I saw it being spoken about, I think, on TBN or something. So I ordered it online. I got the book. Beautiful Stories, a compilation of well-researched testimonies of how God, all right, is moving in the heart of Islam. I don't know what I told the story before. One man, he goes for Hajj every year. You know they call Hajj?
Yes.
He goes to Mecca every year. That's the place he preaches his own gospel. As they are milling around the big rock, you know, that big rock, stoning the devil. You know, they are going around milling the big rock. He just stops some, you know, the Holy Spirit is with him. Just stop somebody beside him. Hey, what's the problem? Are you okay? Why did you come here? Looking for spirit. You mind if I pray with you? The person said no. Okay, the only thing that I only pray in the name of Jesus. And that's a place where if they hear that from your mouth, they behead you. They will remove your head. If somebody just said, this man is a Christian, the law is that there's no non-Muslim that's allowed. Your presence is punishable by death. Yet the man does not miss Hajj. Every year, he buys ticket like everybody else. He goes there and he meals with the crowd. And anybody beside him must hear the gospel. And he said, nobody ever refuses his prayers. You tell them, look, I pray in the name of Jesus, they don't mind. You hold the person's hand, pray for you right there and then continue his Hajj. Next year, he's going to come back. In the same book, I told you the story. I read the story there. I think I told it here before. Of a pastor in Egypt. I don't know whether it's a pastor, a church leader in Egypt. Egypt is 90-something percent Muslims. All right? And they say Egypt is the intellectual capital of Islam. All right? There, one night, he was sleeping. He heard a gun cock prum, in his head. Somebody told him, get up. He got up, dress up. You know those kind of things. Anyway, he was kidnapped. Carried him through back alleys, over fences, with a gun to his back. He was just waiting for the thing to go off and he'll be dead, which is normal. I mean, you know, Islamic fundamentalists, he expected that. Except that when he got to the warehouse, after they locked the door, the man who came to kidnap him removed the veil on his face. And he found himself in the circle of imams. You know, imams, not Muslims, I mean imams, rulers of mosques and everything. And they apologized to him. That one who came to kidnap him apologized and said, I'm very sorry. The only way I could get you is through this kidnapping. But we have all gathered here to come and hear the gospel that you have to preach. So shoot. Now don't be angry. This is the only way we can do it. In the afternoon, we will go to mosque. Don't worry. Maybe we are the imams. But the truth, we have found out through dreams and visions that Jesus had instructed them. So they say, okay, how do we get to hear this thing? You go and get that guy. How do we get him cock a gun? Kidnap the guy. The guy was surprised. He sat down there and began to teach them the gospel of God. Why am I saying this? So that, you know, you won't be discouraging him, no matter what you pray. There are things I can't tell you because it's privileged information. Some of the most powerful Islamic emirs in this country, they are Christians. I can't tell you more than that. Outside, you could see Turban, you could see Tesbi, mosque, all of them could go there. But for house, they don't lock the door. What would you clear the Bible from where you hide them? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What I've told you is not a joke. I mean it literally. So, you think God is sleeping? He's not sleeping. What he's saying is that stop complaining. Add prayer to this thing I'm doing. Are you getting my point? Add prayer to it. Add prayer to it. Somebody gave me a testimony once in the heart of Saudi Arabia, one of the ruling families, one of those Saudi princes. They said the whole family, they are Christians, but nobody knows. They don't want to be beheaded. They don't want trouble. Nobody knows. How did they become Christian? One of these Nigerian Christians that went to go and work there is a doctor. This man's wife, you know, there are some men that are very good. He loves his wife to pieces. The woman felt very sick. And of course, money, no, death not the respect money. Get money from now to tomorrow. The death wants to collect you. Come. And the Bible says that I know they take bribe. You know, death doesn't collect, so how should I give you? $1 million. It doesn't work. So this man's wife was sick. So the doctor decided to risk his life. He approached the man and said, "Is it okay with you if I prayed for your wife?" And the man said, "No problem. You are aware of the fact that I'm a Christian. That's how I pray. No problem." He went there, prayed for the woman, and the woman got well. After the woman got well, now the guy tell and said the truth to her. So, well, this is Jesus must be real. So he converted the whole family. They don't tell anybody outside. Outside, everybody go tie what they call the hurricane or whatever. Tie something around the head. Nobody will suspect. Nobody suspects. Nobody suspects. No, I'm telling this whole story so that you will know that God isn't asleep and is still the ruler in the affairs of men. Christians look, you know, we look. You have ever said that? Damn, Islam is going to take everything over. You don't know the God you are serving. You don't know the God you are serving. And when you keep on believing it, you now give them the power to take everything over. But if you know that God is not asleep, he's awake, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Believe that and you will see it. Islam can't take anything over. Don't tell anybody. Look, hear the prophetic word of God. God said after communism, that's the next thing I'm facing. And everything, all this noise you are hearing, bomb blasts here and there, is the beginning of the end. Amen. You're praying for your country? Listen to me, my people of God. Focus your prayer first of all on that thing. Don't even think some places are impenetrable. Don't think so. Paul, that is Saul in the Bible, who became Paul. Saul of Tarsus. That guy was an Islamic militant. I hope you know that. God knows how he handles such people. Say this one, don't preach to him yet. Wait. When he had armed himself as a terrorist to be going around rounding up the church, a Jewish terrorist, you know, some of what I'm trying to say, God just met him on the way, knocked the guy down. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul said, "Sorry, it was a mistake." Jesus, that is no, wait, relax. When I have his time, he will preach this gospel. Just be watching. When the people heard that Saul had believed, they said, "It's a trick." They said, "It's a trick. The man wants to come and number all of us." So when they said, "We are going to see Brother Saul," he said, "God be with you. I'll be praying for you from here. Go and see Brother Saul. By the way, don't tell him you know me. Don't mistakenly mention my name." It took a long time for people to realize that this guy, he really... That was how sure they were that he could not believe. That's why if you are among the soldiers that went to kill Osama bin Laden, all right? Like just before you shoot and say, "Do you believe?" Just ask the guy, because I'm telling you the truth. Osama bin Laden could have believed. There's nobody, I know Americans would like to hear this, nobody can tell me that Osama bin Laden went to hellfire. You don't know. How will you know now? The man was in a hole for a long time. Oh, you think God hated him because Americans hate him? That's what the Bible calls zeal, but not according to knowledge.
Maybe that was his affliction. He was zealous for what he thought was the will of God. Better than Obama, who doesn't seem to have direction. Obama wake up today. Do you think a man should marry a man? No, I don't think so. They come the following year. Do you think a man should marry a man? Say, my thoughts are evolving. Then one day said, do you think a man should marry a man? Say, I've seen a lot of good people who want to make commitment. They want to make commitment. Yes, I think a man should marry a man. And he thinks that he's anointed. He thinks he's more righteous than Osama bin Laden. I don't have to tell you, look, let's not go there. If you read your scriptures well, if David was alive today, you know David in the Bible, the one that all of you are naming your children David now. My son, his name is David. Almost all my friends have a son called David. If you were not a Jew, if you were a Philistine and you were alive in the days of David, you will hate that fellow like Americans hate Osama bin Laden today. You don't know David? David will walk into a village of people who didn't offend him. Kill all of them. That you don't understand. He will slaughter every single person. Why? So that their kings will not know where he went to raid. He will kill man, kill woman, children. David wants to marry wife. He will kill 200 men who did not offend him. Collect their foreskin, go and give Saul because he wants to marry one stupid girl who didn't have any respect for him. You know those kind of girls, you're calling me, don't you know it's 10 o'clock? Don't they sleep in your house? That's the way you won't marry. And you still call back. If you know you have it, you sinned, God is trying to punish you. You should know. There are things you do, all your friends will be looking and say, don't mind him. All his sins are about to catch up with him. Your friends. That was the kind of girl. Yet he will kill 200 Philistines. I'm telling you, so forget the fact that you are naming your children David. If you were a Philistine and you were alive at that time, you wouldn't like him one bit. Yet he was there. I found a man after my heart. I don't know whether you get my point. So I'm just telling you, don't judge Osama bin Laden. He's dead. Amen? If he opens door for you in heaven, don't think you're in hell. Don't then you get to heaven. You say, all right, come in. Let me show you your quarters. As he's going, you're looking and say, excuse me, this beer looks familiar. He said, this baby, I've seen it before. And he turns around. Yeah. You seen it before somewhere? Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it before. Who's Amma? I'm going. Osama, come here. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. But there is no difference. You believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus too. What did I do that he did not do? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I saying all of these things? So don't think God is sleeping. Do you understand my point? He's not. He can meet with anybody, anywhere. One of the most powerful king of that time was Nebuchadnezzar. God converted that fellow. Read your Bible well now. Nebuchadnezzar said, he gets sense. Is this not Babylon the Great, which I built with him? Power of my might for the glory of my majesty. Me, only me. I do get sense. I do get power. I still get everything. God just look at it. This guy is not a bad man. He's just a stupid man. The difference between a bad man and a stupid man. So let's teach him sense. You all remove the portion of his brain and give it to one demon to be chewing. Honestly. The demon, it's not good to wake up in the morning. You see demons, they take your brain to play football. You know, they are juggling his brain. This is how he watched them for, the Bible says 7 seasons. We don't know the length of time. He watched them for 7 seasons. And then somebody just tossed the brain back to him. Hey! You know, you play football before. Jog, just kick it in your direction. You got to catch your brain, put them back. He said, now I worship the Most High God.
Listen, no matter how powerful a man is, when God is ready for him, he can touch him if he's touchable. Are you getting my point? It's not what you are thinking outside. I need to say this to encourage the heart of Christians. You can pray effectively for the most difficult nation on this earth, and one day, the revival of God will break out from there. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
so when you are praying, all right, don't just think some places are not touched. Listen, inside Zamfara, the gospel of Jesus will win.
Amen.
In Kano, one day soon, they will crown an emir, and it will be a publicly Christian emir.
Amen.
Say me like you believe it.
Amen.
I will preach in emirs' palaces.
Amen.
I will do Bible study there.
Amen.
I will arrive. They say, how about pastor? You don't come? Yes. Everybody go sit down, cross-legged like this, on the floor. Goes there. And I will lead worship. I will bring the scriptures and begin to decode the counsel of God for their nation there.
Amen.
I will do that.
Amen.
I will do it in two areas. There's the one that I won't tell you or tell anybody. I will go Nicodemusly. When I'm going, you won't even know it's me. I will not wrap my head like this. Turban. I carry big sack, this thing, wear it. They will drive me in a vehicle. I will carry a rosary, you won't know. And as soon as we enter, they just say, this way. As soon as they lock the door, you unwind. You don't come. Yes. You will see the place will be full of people. We begin to share the word of God. That one will happen.
Amen.
You know, God can do these things, though.
Yes.
You know, I wrote an article some time ago titled The Limits of God. The Limits of God. And we are the ones that set limits on God. Currently, the Americans are the bad limits of God concerning the gospel in the Middle East and in those countries around Asia. That is, they preach. Oh, just watch TBN. They preach. They'll say that God can save anybody apart from Osama bin Laden. God loves everybody. Anybody who comes to him, as long as it's not an Arab, will be saved. They don't know what they are saying it to. They'll be telling how God loves everybody. And everybody should preach the gospel to anybody. But then they'll technically on that be telling you, if it's an Iraqi, God is not sure. Some of them are hard to save. If it's Iranian, until they let go of nuclear weapon, God can't save them. If they are Jordanian, if they love Americans and love Israel. In fact, since they don't love Israel, all of them are doomed and going to hellfire, which is a fat lie. More Israelis will go to hellfire than the Arab neighbors. You've not heard that before? Oh, let me say it again. When you're counting those going to hellfire, there are more inside Israel than their Arab neighbors. That's a matter of fact. Well, it's not a matter of fact that I'm so sure they are more, but at least they are equal. That one is a matter of fact. God does not discriminate. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, you are an unbeliever. If you are an unbeliever, you are an unbeliever. If you reject the gospel of Jesus, you are doomed. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, God won't say, they preached gospel to you, and you knew it was the truth, but rejected it. I would have condemned you now, but you know, your name is Jacob, you know, Ehud Barak. Let him enter heaven. And I called the other fellow and said that, did you believe? No. Did they preach to you? Yes. You heard the truth and you knew it was the truth. What's your name? Muhammad bin Laden. Hey, come on, hellfire. He doesn't do like that. He does not do like that. The same God is rich unto all that call upon his name, for there is no difference. 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 But our American brethren, they lie to us that God loves the Jews, he hates the Arabs. It's a lie. What did I say? What did I say? It's a lie. God loves everybody, and everybody should believe if they want his favor. And that is one major reason. Listen, go and read that my article, The Limits of God. That is one major reason why God currently has a problem. Now, you say, God has a problem. Yes, I told you we are the one that can limit him. And that's why I'm preaching like this. That's why God has a problem. We're reaching those, because when we are broadcasting on TBN, and we are broadcasting those places, we keep on telling them, do you want to be saved? Love your Israeli neighbor. As if that's the key to salvation. If he wants to be saved by loving somebody, his neighbor on his street is more important than the neighbor across the national boundary. We wake up. Do you? Let me explain something to you. Do you realize the amount of hatred between those people? The typical Arab and the typical Jew. They hate themselves so much. If you present God as the God of the Jew, he can't believe. I don't know whether you get my point. Believe? He's not going to believe. And the truth is that God is not the God of the Jews. God is the God of everybody. You have to let him understand that God loves him as much as he loves his Jewish neighbor. That is only United Nations and Americans that are showing partiality on land matters. You know, God doesn't care who owns the land. I know you say, are you a preacher? Yes, I am. Every other preacher is saying the opposite. They are all telling you what is not true. Are you the only one that knows the truth? Apparently, it appears like that in this. I don't mean like that too. I'm not the only one that knows the truth. Just that most of us who know it, we don't talk loud. They're not the clear talk. If I say this kind of thing on TV, they withdraw my program. That's not supposed to be a joke. I'm not joking, no. You don't know the kind of things that Christians do. And that's one reason why the Arabs can't. It's hard. It's hard. You are going to war. They tell you that you are going to fight for this land. God is with your enemies. He's not with you. So what should I do? Believe in that God. Eh? Believe in the God of my enemies? Doesn't make sense. If it was true, would I even be thinking about it? But it is not even true. It is not true. All the promises of God are only confirmed in whom? In Christ Jesus. So why are you telling me that an unbeliever has a right to the promises? When Jesus said that you'll be bragging, he said, you have Abraham for our father. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Was that not what he called them? What is the problem with Christians? Let me preach my message, y'all. Bless you. I don't sidetrack small. What am I doing saying all of these things? We should have the faith to pray because God is actually moving. That's what I'm saying, all of these things. Kano belongs to God. Zamfara belongs to Jesus Christ. If you believe this, amen.
Amen.
Every corner of this nation, from Sokoto, zoom across to Maiduguri, go down. Which one is on this side? Is it Maiduguri now? Where's Maiduguri? This side, okay. Down to Calabar, across to Lagos. And by every corner, thank God Enugu is even in the center of all this one we have drawn. Everyone belongs to who? To Jesus Christ. Amen. And the limit, that's what I was talking about. The problem is when people say no, that one belongs to Islam. But I've come to tell you today, it is not true. Your primary prayer for this nation is not for economic prosperity. That one is added. It is not even for peace. Again, that is added. The primary prayer is that God, this is what we, your people in this nation, this is what we are saying. We are saying the gospel of Jesus will penetrate into every corner of this country. No matter the resistance that exists right now, the gospel will penetrate into every corner of this country. Lord, send laborers into this harvest field. Lord, send laborers into this harvest field. The gospel will... We talk about those people as if they are closer to hellfire. This is your village. What do you think about it? I don't know whether I get my point. All the villages where they will kidnap people and go and hide them there. They are worse than Boko Haram. Don't you know that? Boko Haram has something. It may be crazy, but they think they are working for God. But this guy, he knows he's not working for God. He knows I'm selfish. I love money. I hate my neighbor. No virgin is waiting for me in heaven. When I die, I will go to hell. They know. You know the kidnappers know. He's not doubting it. At least the suicide bomber thinks so. He may be deceived, but at least he thinks so. He thinks I'm blowing myself. That's why, you know, before they blow, you know what they shout? Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. No, it's incantation. No, that's how they do it. The man, before he blows himself, as you're approaching, he wants to blow. Once you hear Allah Akbar disappear. It's like a chant. He starts increasing the pain. Once you hear Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, look, just dive. Something's about to happen. You understand my point? What am I going to explain? At least he thinks he believes in God. You know, the armed robber and the kidnapper? Nothing. He doesn't even think he's going to go to heaven. He doesn't even think he's worthy of purgatory. He knows this one, once I die, I'm dead. I will be condemned. I will go to hellfire. But before I die, may I chop life small. What am I trying to say? Down in your neighborhood, they need as much gospel as the people in Sambisa Forest. Do you realize that? Everybody needs this gospel. And what is our job as the church of God? We will pray that the gospel of God will enter into every corner of this nation. Did I talk about your village? Did I mention about the village? What about your brothers and your sisters, your cousins? They all need this gospel. And like I've been trying to emphasize, without you praying specifically, the gospel will not enter into certain places. I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just take a minute. All right, we are closing now, but it's a good time. Now that we've understood some principles, let us say simply to God, say in the name of Jesus, send laborers, send light. Those are the two things. The light of the gospel and laborers to carry it. Send them into every corner of this nation, into the emirs' palaces, into the bishops' courts. Some of these bishops don't know God. We need a prayer. We need this prayer. Into my village, into my home, into my family, to the hearts of my brethren, that's naturally speaking, my brothers, my sisters, my father, my mother, my cousins. I have a right to speak concerning this nation, therefore I say, into every corner of Enugu State, into every corner of Lagos State, into every corner of River State, into every corner of Anambra State, into every corner of Imo State, into every corner of Benue State, into every corner of Abuja, Nasarawa State, Plateau State, Zamfara State, Kano State, Sokoto State, Borno State, Kebbi State, every single state, Katsina, every single one, Lord, I am asking, send laborers into the harvest field. Send the gospel. That is what we need. That is the light of this nation. Say, that is the light of this nation. That is the light of this nation. Therefore, we are asking, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. Say, Lord, you can volunteer as if you have a choice. Say, Lord, I am a laborer for your harvest field. Say it, I have been bought. I have been bought with a price. Now I live for you, I live for you alone. Say it, Lord, I live for you, I live for you alone. I live for you, I live for you alone. I live for you, I live for you alone. I am a laborer in your harvest field. Say it again. Say, Lord, send laborers into your harvest field. Nigeria, we declare, is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This country will serve Jesus Christ. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please, can you look up for a moment? I want to say this, then we'll share the grace and we're out of here. Believe the word of God. What did I say? What did I say? Jesus said, whatever you shall bind on earth, what will happen to it? You know, many of us in Nigeria, we are bound in northern states. Do you know that? We have bound many places and said to them, you will never hear the gospel. And we don't realize it. It's by our words. My message today is this. He also said, whatsoever you shall lose on earth, shall what? Shall what? So if you and I say, we lose Zamfara State from the shackles of Islam, and we declare that the light of Jesus will penetrate that place and break every hold that Islam has on it. Listen to me, it will happen. Let's just say one more time. Everybody, just shut your eyes for a moment. And say, we lose.